Well, thank you for being here with us today at Bethel Church Choctaw. If you're watching online, thank you for watching. You know who you are, but I'm praying for you, right? And then there's some of you, you really should be here. You know who I'm talking about, right? That'll work, Keith. You watch. No, really. No, thank you for watching online. Well, you honor us by watching, and if you have questions or prayer requests, please feel free to text me, call me, send me an email, put it on the whatever platform you're watching on, and I'd love to get with you and be with you, pray with you. So let's get into this. If you've seen the bulletin today, by the way, in the bulletin is a couple of things I do want to make mention of. This next Saturday is the women's get-together, women's Saturday, yeah. So don't miss out on that. If you're a woman, it's going to be really good. If you're a guy, stay home and watch the kids. Let your wife be with a great group, though. They have a lot of great things going on there. We also are looking for greeters. We're looking for teachers for our children's ministry. Please help out there if you can. And the greeters, if you want to be a greeter, I think Keith mentioned this. You see me or Amy. And also the missions committee. Keith mentioned that, so I'll let that go at that. Give me a shout about that. So I've got two cheesy sermon titles in a row.
Yeah, come on.
Right? Last week is Let It Go, and I said, Lord, please don't make me name this Let It Go. And this week, the Buddy System, two cheesy titles in a row. But you know what? America loves cheese. Right? It does. America loves cheese. So last week, though, we were challenged. One of the challenges we had is to remember how much we need God in our prayer life. Does your prayer life resemble and reflect obedience to the Bible and humility? How much do we need God? Are we to the ends of our rope that we can really say, I'm humble, I'm kneeling down, I'm relying on you 100%, relying on God? That's one of the things we learned last week. This week, Buddy System, we're going to learn and realize how important it is that we need each other. We need God and we need each other. Relationships, building relationships with our Christian brothers and sisters. Oh, I brought something to show you today. This is my dad's knife. Look at that, Barbara. Barbara, by the way, is my sister. So when we hug for extra long time, she's my sister. We can do that. We're family. But she's my sister that plays keyboard up here. This is Dad's knife. And Dad used his knife all the time, like every day. He used it constantly. And you know what? He only used it for one reason. Can you guess? No? Good guess. Shout it out. What else? No? No? Whittle. Have you ever heard whittling? Right? My dad whittled all the time. People would ask him. He'd come by when they would go camping out, and they would come by, and they would say, well, what are you making? He's, I guess, a smaller stick out of a big stick. That's what he would say. And he loved to whittle, but he did it, like, all the time. He constantly did it. Every once in a while, he did it so often, he had to stop and sharpen the knife. And so that brings us to this first scripture. That's what I thought about when I read this first scripture in Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Now, these days we have flint and we have a few other synthetic type materials that we sharpen knives with. In those days, they a lot of times would use, in Jesus' day, or actually before Jesus' day, in the early Iron Age, they would use a soft iron to sharpen a harder iron. Similar materials, but not exactly the same. Right? And they had to be used properly, obviously. So my dad would whittle and whittle. There's actually shavings of cedar that he whittled inside this, so I've never opened it since. So I want to keep it there. But he would whittle all the time, and he would sharpen it on occasion when it needed to. And here's one of the things that that taught me is when you are used, even when used properly, even if you're being used fulfilling the task that you are called to fulfill, there will come a time that you will become dull if you're not continually sharpened. There will come a time that you will need to be sharpened. Hebrews 3:13 says this, encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Thankfully, God has placed sharpeners in our lives to keep us effective. Anybody coming to mind as a sharpener for you? I know some. I told Kevin that he was my sharpener. But you are, brother. You're my sharpener. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We need sharpeners. People that sharpen each other tend to grow closer to each other and have a deeper love for each other. Sharpeners. We need those sharpeners. People that you will partner with in this life, within the body of Christ, that you can depend on, that will help you be a part of something more productive for the kingdom of God than if you were on your own. Now, many times I heard some giggles when we read that scripture, iron sharpens iron. We think about somebody that is a sharpener for us. We have that giggle because we get the picture of the friction. We get the picture of the heat and the sparks and the things it could almost be painful or uncomfortable to be sharpened. And sometimes, perhaps, that's the actual case. Maybe there are times that we need to be made a little bit uncomfortable. But sharpening each other doesn't always have to be painful or uncomfortable. I read the one version of Proverbs 27:17, the King James adds an extra word in there. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And I thought, there's several translations that omit that. Not that that might be a big deal or anything, but let's just look at it and see. Sharpeneth the countenance. And I looked at the Hebrew, and there really is an extra word in that scripture. Panim is Hebrew, and it means front or face or countenance. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the front or the face or the countenance of his friend. Now, after realizing that, I remembered that I did a study not too long ago in the New Testament about how the word face and front was used in the New Testament. And a lot of times it's used to symbolize your focus. So I thought, you know what, that works well here. It may not be the only translation, but that is a good translation. It works well here. Christian brothers and sisters, or sinners, Christian sinners, Christian brothers and sisters challenging each other, keeping each other focused on what we need to really be thinking about, praying about, talking about. Keeping our focus, the face and the front. Instead of being distracted by the world, we have our good brothers and sisters that will keep us focused going forward. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider. Think about this. Think about it. Consider it. How to stimulate one another to love. And how to stimulate one another to good deeds. Our friends and partners in life, keep our minds and our spirits sharp. Because left to our own devices, we'll begin to wander, we'll begin to become dull, will be ineffective, according to Hebrews 3:13, distracted by the cares of life. We need each other. We need to be sharpened with each other because we're better together. Now, I know that some of us are thinking, yeah, I've got friendships, I've got relationships, I've got, brothers in Christ, and I see them almost every Sunday and some Wednesdays, and I want to paint a picture for you. Biblically, I want you to have an open mind about this and biblically think about the value and the importance of relationships in the Bible from a Bible perspective. And we're going to start with the early church in Acts 2. 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's continue in Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him as his own. But all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them. There was not one needy person among them. There is something about the people of God gathering together in unity and fellowship, partnering in life, not just Sunday, but partnering in life, that seems to unlock a power and a growth and spiritual productivity that we probably have not been, we've not seen that yet. And the sacrifice is great, I would think. Nothing that you have seems to be your own. Now, most everything I would be okay with, but I'm not going to let you play my fiddle. I'm just not. I'm just maybe a little bit rebellious about that. Lord, everything, let me keep that to myself. No, I'm just teasing. But think about when these people get together in unity, the wonderful things that happen. Jesus, yeah, that's right. I'm not really kidding. I heard that. Jesus is another example. He would let you play his fiddle that he got from his dad if you asked him, I'm sure. I'm trying to be more like Jesus. But Mark 3:14, he says he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. They literally did life together. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to allow the Bible and these scriptures that I'm going to be going through today to paint the picture of how valuable and necessary relationship is. Not just, hey, I see you at church, that's good, we chit-chat, but relationship. Think about this. Your Christian journey was designed to function only as a collective. Partnership with other parts of the body is necessary. Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. It's teamwork. Paul teaches about on this topic many times. To the Romans, he wrote, just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are in one body in Christ and individually members one of another. In his letter to 1 Corinthians, chapter 12 is mostly about the body of Christ. To the Ephesians, he wrote, "From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for building of it up of itself in love." To the Galatians, hang on with me, let the Bible paint this picture for you. To the Galatians, he said, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." You see, it's not just a suggestion. It's not even only a command. It's just a fact that your Christian journey relies on relationship with each other. I need you, you need me, and we all need each other at various levels. Amen? Think about this statement. Anytime our actions are outside of godly partnership, we begin to operate outside of God's will. Right? Think about that. If we're created to work as a team with each other, a body, individual members of a body, when we begin to operate life without that godly partnership, we begin to operate without God, without being in God's will. And when we do that, we've limited what God can do in our lives and in our community. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:21, "The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you anymore." Body parts may look different. They may operate different. They may act different. They may smell different. They may vote different. Oh, wait, does that, did I? However, they're still all part of the same body, the same family. And we're going to have to work together if we wish to remain in this family. Now, some parts of the body we will be closer to than others, and you know what? That's okay. So my next thing is this: find your buddies. Who is in or who can be in your buddy system? Ask yourself this: who are the people that influence me? And who are the people that I naturally influence? Usually that answer is those with whom I have a relationship with. I want to challenge you this year to examine who is in your buddy system and intentionally build upon that system. Create new relationships and establish room to be influenced by your buddies in your buddy system. Some of the healthiest, spiritually healthiest people that I know right now in my life that seem to be growing and very much on fire are those individuals who's in a small group, spiritually meeting together with like-minded people and growing. And it's exciting. I think the proof is in the pudding. And I want to challenge you. Examine who's in your buddy system. Develop that system. Intentionally build that system. Romans 14:19 says this: "So then we pursue the things which make for peace." We pursue the building up of one another. Don't think that your relationships and your influence is just going to accidentally happen. Pursue it, the Bible says. Develop your buddy system intentionally. I believe that when we purposefully do things, we purposely and intentionally think about things and act on things, we'll have a tendency to focus on it closer and strive for excellence in that purpose. That may mean occasionally, I got this off of last week, by the way. Occasionally, we may need to self-reflect regarding our circle of influence. I want you to consider your current impact on the people closest to you. When people are around me, are they influenced biblically and spiritually? So I made a list. You know, I like lists. Paige, if you would, show this list and keep it up there for a while. Paige is such a godsend to us and this body of believers. I thank you. You're awesome, Paige. Thank you for that. And so this list here, I want you to consider these descriptive words and phrases. God uses these words and phrases to describe godly influence and relationship between friends. Think about that. This is what it looks like. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Encouraging. Build up. Edification. Grace. Counsel. Good and pleasant. Dwell in unity. Humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Compassion. Kindness. Humility. Gentleness. Bearing with one another. Patience. Forgiving each other. Love. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Hospitable without complaint. What's that last one? Yeah. Everybody say it one time out loud. Yeah. Very good. Now you know. Sorry, everybody. You're responsible for them. So think about this list. Now, when you're around your circle of influence and your relationships, do they experience an influence of these descriptive words? Do they leave your conversation feeling edified, peaceful, loved? Did they hear complaints? Did they hear some griping? Or did they hear forgiveness, gentleness, kindness, and humility? It's a tough question, right? We have to ask ourselves that. Hebrews 10:24, we read it earlier. Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Have you ever stopped and maybe in your morning before you get to work, you think about one of your buddies at work, how am I going to influence them to love or to do good deeds? And the rest of that verse is this, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We have to remember to assemble in some way. We have to assemble and be together. At the end of every year, last month in December and November, I begin to pray about a focus that God may want the church to take, or as a pastor, what direction am I going to, is there a topic God wants me to focus on? Last year was pursuing God. Amen, right? Remember that? It was only a couple of weeks ago. Pursuing God was kind of a year-long, in and out of that type of topic. And this year I was praying about it, and I kept, I feel like I'm hearing from God, and it's about relationships. But not just casual relationships, but godly spiritual relationships where we challenge each other and we sharpen each other. And being serious about those. And when I went to Ecuador in December, that thought began to even solidify in my mind. The intentionally forming of godly relationships. Because I realized when I was in Ecuador, I feel like that in America, even in our Christian culture, we've lost the significance of true relationships and doing Christianity together in life. Challenging each other, doing small groups. Have we gotten so used to just checking the box of being at church on Sunday and that's good? And I want to say, I don't think it is. I don't think it's enough. I think there comes a day, I think the day is here, but I think even in the future, it will be even more important that we have people that we can rely on that will keep us focused and keep us sharp. There may be a time when it's us against the world. I want to have some people around me that I know who's got my back, spiritually speaking. We need each other. This year, I want for us to intentionally grow godly relationships, partner together, and not just for our own sake, but for the wildly successful harvest of the kingdom of God. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I want to share with you one more point here. In 1 Peter 4, 8 to 10, he says this, above all, keep fervent. That word fervent in the Greek comes from a word that means intent without ceasing. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. And get this one, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received a special gift, employ it. Allow other people to use their gifts to influence your life. Sometimes I think we forget that. Sometimes dialogues aren't really dialogues, they're monologues, and somebody doesn't get to speak as much as the next person. Allow people to influence you as you allow yourself to influence them. Everybody has different gifts. I'll tell you, a challenge that I had when I became pastor here, this church had a pastor that started it about 50 years ago and was doing amazing. And everybody loves him. It still does. Pastor Temple has left a fantastic legacy. So when we felt like God had called me into this position, I was like, okay, Lord, just go ahead and relay to me the gifts that you relayed to him. Because everybody expected me to do the things that he did well. At least I thought that, whether you did or not. You may have been thinking, nah, he's not going to do that. But I was like, yeah, I thought that too. And after a while in praying this, I wanted to have the gifts that Pastor Temple had. And I thought that God stopped me one time and said, how many gifts do you want? Maybe you allow, he said, I've placed people around you that have their gifts, so it's not a one-man show because it's not about me. It's not even about the pastor. It's about a team of people influencing this community. Right? Amen? Yeah. And if I've got all the gifts, then everybody else is just sitting around. But see, I don't even have that many, so we need a Pastor Temple. We need a John, and we need a Keith, and a Sherry, and a Lynetta. We need people that have other gifts. Allow people don't want their gift in your life. Allow them to use their gift in your life. Be influenceable by those that God places in your life that's supposed to be influenceable. So, I want to summarize real quick. Number one, find your buddies. Intentionally develop your buddy system spiritually. It's going to be valuable in your life, I guarantee it. If you want to start a small group, a men's group, or something like that, let's do it. Let's get with the staff. We'll facilitate any of this. Or just purpose to call your friends, go out to eat with people and talk about stuff. Involve God in your conversation. Intentionally develop your circle of influence and keep it in both directions. Consider how to influence them and allow your godly friends to influence you as well. You know, I say that careful because I don't want anybody and everybody to influence me, right? But if I have a godly friend like me and Keith are hanging out, I'm letting him influence me. I'm allowing that to happen. I'm not just, no, I'm the pastor, I'll tell you what to do. No, I go to him for and I ask questions. I allow him to influence me as well. Amen? Which means that sometimes we may have to be accepting of critique. When iron sharpens iron, sometimes we have to be accepting of somebody saying, you know what, I'm going to have to call you on the carpet on this. And if that's the case, we need to learn how to be honest with each other. We have such a nice culture that we have missed the importance of being honest with each other. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to really give them this advice because I don't think they're going to like it and they're going to get mad and leave the church and take 20 people with them and say bad stuff about me on Facebook, right? It's a shame that we live in a culture like that. Why can't we say, listen, brother, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I think you're out of focus here, right? Let's do that with each other. Be open and accepting of people giving you godly advice and critique. Hey, maybe it's bad advice, and you just be nice and godly about it and say, okay, I'll take that into consideration, and you pray about it. But we need that in our lives. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy.